As I take the first breaths of the pure air of Bilad al-Sham, my eye catches sight of a billboard outside the Damascus airport advertising a local Syrian airline. Its name is most symbolic. Ajnihat al-Sham, it's called, or the wings of Sham. It's a phrase we find rooted in the noble words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And he said in another hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالَ طُوبَى لِلشَّامِ طُوبَى لِلشَّامِ Glad tidings to Hisham. فَقُلْنَا لِأَيِّ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Why, O Messenger of Allah? قَالَ لِأَنَّ مَلَائِكَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ بَاسِطَةٌ أَجْنِحَتَهَا عَلَيْهَا He said, because the angels of Ar-Rahman have their wings spread over Hisham. I want to share with you all something personal, subhanAllah. That there was a brother from Syria, and he mentioned to me, he said, this hadith caused him doubt. Said, you know, how are the angels' wings spread over Hisham when there's so much atrocity in Hisham? And there are a few things to mention here. Number one, can you imagine how many shuhada are rising through the heavens from Hisham at this very moment? Where the light is rising to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you think of a place that would have more light than that? The angels of Ar-Rahman have their wings spread over Hisham. The du'as, the ibadah of the people of Hisham. The prophets that are buried in Hisham. But, here's something else. Wasn't it that when Asiya, alayhi salam, was being tortured by Fir'aun, that the angels spread their wings over her, bearing witness? That didn't mean that the body of Asiya was not subjected to the torture of Fir'aun. That meant that the soul was sufficed with its full delight. That Allah Azza wa Jal put into Asiya the iman, the faith, and the perspective that was required of her in that moment that would allow her to attain a rank that otherwise would be unattainable. But indeed, if there was a visual of the Malaika, then their wings are spread out over the people of Hisham.
Regardless of whether one undertakes a physical journey to Hisham or not, a journey of spiritual love to this blessed land is what is most imperative. And if undertaken, it makes any physical travel all the more meaningful.
A person can connect themselves to something across geographic barriers by recognizing its virtues and by keeping their focus on it.
Syria is not a synonym for Sham, but Syria is an important constituent and does make up the largest land area of Bilad al-Sham.
And so if you were to say to someone today, Hisham, you would hear greater Syria. And indeed, Hisham includes Syria, Palestine, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate it. It includes Lebanon and it includes Al-Urdun. So it includes Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, and Jordan in the broadest sense. Historically speaking, it also seemed to extend to include some of the other areas. And so some of the northern part of Al-Iraq, like Mosul, Tabuk, was included as part of Hisham, according to many of the scholars. Some of the scholars mentioned some of the regions of Turkey. And so it's a general region that the Prophet is referring to. Hisham has multiple meanings. Some of the scholars mention that it could be referring to Sham as in the son of Nuh alayhi salam. Some of the scholars mention Hisham refers to Ra'ihatu Tayyiba, a good smell, the smell of its frequent vegetation and its fruits and its olives and its fig and all of the beautiful vegetation of Hisham. And most of the scholars mention that Sham refers to simply the left or the north. So if you think of how the Arab actually would function from the Kaaba, you have Sham, Shimal, which is Rihlatu Saif, the place where they would go in the summer. And then you have Yemen, Yaman, coming from the right, where you would go for your winter trade, ash-shita'i was-sayf.
Any discussion on the virtues of Sham must begin with the Quran itself, which mentions the blessed nature of this region in various ayat.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Subhanalladhi asra bi 'abdihi laylan من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير.
Beyond being described in the Quran, this land is a land of people of the Quran.
It's the vision of the Prophet ﷺ himself. He said, and I saw Amud al-Kitab, the pillar of the book, being carried from beneath my head, a transfer from the Prophet ﷺ. فَأَتْبَعْتُهُ بَصَرِي, my eyesight followed where the pillar was being taken. فَعُمِدَ بِهِ إِلَى الشَّامِ, and so it continued until Asham, until it reached Asham. Once again, a book, a light. But this time, as the ulama say, the fact that the Prophet ﷺ saw the pillar of the book meant that Sham would always remain a place of the Qur'an, a place of Ahlul Qur'an, the people of the Qur'an. And the people of the Qur'an are the most beloved people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
هذه من المسجد الأموي بدمشق لجلسات حفظ القرآن وحلقات ختم القرآن الكريم.
Just like the brethren in Gaza, which is another region of Sham, memorizers of the Quran recently gathered in the Umayyad Masjid in Damascus to recite the Quran from memory in one city.
هذه مشاهد ما كنت لتشاهدها لولا تحرير سوريا وقد حرم منها المسلمون سنوات طوال بالمسجد الأموي. فلنشاهد ونحمد الله على هذه النعمة العظيمة.
القبة الخضراء
الله
نرجو لها نظرة
الله
فيها أبو الزهراء يا سيدي الهاشمية.
Sham is a repository of the prophetic light. One of the signs of the coming of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that when his mother became pregnant with him, she saw in a dream that the light came out of her that reached Sham. This vision was physically manifested at the time of his blessed birth, when a light did illuminate the palaces of Sham. During the campaign of Al-Ahzab again, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck a boulder during the digging of the trench, a light appeared, revealing the palaces of Sham, which was a means of glad tidings of these lands entering into the Muslim domain. Making Sham all the more special are the visits Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically made to it in his youth.
The first time he's taken as a child by Abu Talib on that trade route. And Abu Talib has an incident with him in the city of Busra. And Busra is a road that connects Damascus to the Red Sea. And it's here that we have the narration of the Christian monk Bahira. He notices this cloud of dust that is overshadowing one of the caravans and that the trees are prostrating towards, centering this young boy sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is taking a nap under this tree. And he says that there is not a single tree or stone that this young man passed by except that it prostrated towards him. And they would not do that except for a Nabi, except for a prophet. This is the narration that shows up in many of the books of Tariq as the first journey of the Prophet ﷺ to Syria. The second one, he would become a partner in the investment of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she sends with the Prophet ﷺ to Syria her servant Maysara. And he witnesses the strange things about the Prophet ﷺ that the Prophet ﷺ witnessed as a child. That everywhere the Prophet ﷺ went, creation interacted with him in a very specific way. That he said that I would see the Prophet ﷺ rest under a tree and the branches of the tree would extend themselves to shade him from the sun sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he walked, it appeared like an angelic presence appeared over him to shade him from the sun sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the angels have their wings spread over Asham and they have their wings spread over our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam walking the streets of Syria before he received prophethood, before he received the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The presence of the prophets abound in Sham. It is related from Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu an that the lands of Sham contain the graves of 1700 prophets. Others suggested that there are 500 graves of Anbiya in Damascus alone. Among the specific Anbiya whose maqams or graves are said to be found in Syria are Adam, Lut, Ayyub, Musa, Hud, Dhulkifl, Yahya and Zakariya alayhi salam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that Nuh alayhi salam lived in Damascus. Sham then is also the abode of innumerable Sahaba and the home of the chosen servants of Allah, the Abdal. These are 40 persons. Every time one of them dies, Allah substitutes another in his place. By means of them, Allah brings down the rain, gives victory over the enemies, and averts punishment from the people of Sham.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَكَّلَ لِي بِالشَّامِ وَأَهْلِهِ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah has guaranteed for me the protection of Sham and its people. And the majority of the companions of the Prophet will be found in Sham. The majority of the companions of the Prophet will be found in Sham. Even to the point, if you just think of the plague of Amwas alone, Ta'un Amwas, and how many of the Sahaba died, it's an indication of how many of them went out to Sham, acting upon the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
As an integral part of the Levant, today's Syria possesses all the general virtues narrated in the hadith for wider Sham. At the same time, there are specific narrations that extol the virtues or significance of particular places in Syria, like Damascus.
Ala inna uqra dar al-mu'minin al-Sham. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that verily, the heartland of the believers is Sham. What a way to refer to it. It's the heartland of the mu'mineen, of the believers once again. Not for a person who's born Shami. It's the heartland of the believers. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned, that faith will always remain in Sham. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he says, and if you combine the ahadith, where the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talks about the places to which a person should flee, then obviously you have Al-Haramain, Mecca and Al-Madinah. And there is no doubt that the fada'il of Medina, the virtues of Medina, are many. When the Prophet ﷺ mentions staying in Al-Madinah. But he said it is Medina and Al-Sham as well. And he mentions the multiple narrations in that regard. Ya Rasulullah, ayna ta'muruni? O Messenger of Allah, where should I go? Hahuna? Should I stay here? And the Prophet ﷺ pointed towards Al-Sham. The scholars mention that the dead rose to life in Al-Sham. And the dead will rise to life in Sham. What is this referring to? Bani Israel, miraculous things, many miracles used to happen amongst them. And so the stories of prophets raising the dead to life, almost all exclusively, are situated amongst the prophets of Bani Israel. But the point is that this is a place where the dead rose to life. This is a place where Uzair, alayhi salam, right, went to sleep for 100 years. This is a place where Ashab al-Kahf. And so this is a place where the dead rise to life. And what's profound about that is that every single one of us will go to Sham, either now or later, because it is Ardul Mahshar, it's the place of assembly. And so the dead will rise and proceed to Sham. It's the place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascended to the heavens, and it's the place where Isa alayhi salam will descend from the heavens. Because we know that Isa alayhi salam will descend first to Damascus, where the white minaret is. So it's the place where the prophets rise and the place where the prophets descend. So it's a place where miracles happen.
These virtues of Sham impressed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum so much that 5,000 of them later emigrated or entered into Sham. When I decided to move, Atta al-Khurasani said, I consulted the learned in Makkah, Medina, Kufa, Basra and Khurasan, asking them where they thought I should go with my dependents. All of them said, you must go to Sham.